Thank you.
I almost forgot, like Pat. So thank you for choosing to be here today. Yesterday, last evening, was the winter solstice here in the Northern Hemisphere. We celebrated it on Friday night because I couldn't be out on a work night for me. And it was fun. I mean, it was joy, and it was light, and it was social, and it was lots and lots of music and very little talking, just like I promised. And so here we are in the darkest part of the year for us, 14 hours of darkness and 10 hours of light. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the world to start turning more towards the light. And I was thinking about those people that live inside the Arctic Circle. I've been up there in the summer. It's really cool. In the winter, though, I mean, the sun set for them on the autumn equinox. And it doesn't rise again until the spring equinox. I don't know how it would be to live with 6 months of near or complete darkness. I might need one of those little things where you get sunlight from a little mirror thing. And even then, when you don't see it, the sun exists. That light is still out there and in here, but there's no visible experience of it. How do we remember? How do we remember that no matter what's going on in our world, that the light has never left? So today's talk, The Light Is Here Now. And that's a real puzzle, because I know that for me, I notice when it doesn't get light until 7:15. And when it's dark by 5:15. Is it true for anybody else? Just a little. That's why we live here, right? And then the other part that's really curious to me is this light that we see with our eyes and we experience this visible spectrum is only a tiny, tiny, tiny part of the electromagnetic spectrum. A chemist by the name of Donald Hatch Andrews, who spent his career working at Johns Hopkins and wrote some chemistry textbooks and stuff like that, was a student of science and spirituality. So he has a really useful perspective for us. And one of the things he wrote in a book that was, it's called Light. It's a little bitty square book. And he's writing about if we could actually see all of light, what that experience would be like. So here's what he wrote. You might want to shut your eyes and imagine this. If I could wave a magic wand before you and give you the power to perceive all the invisible sights and inaudible sounds around you at this moment, what would you see and what would you hear? Shall we try it? I wave the wand. Now, in your mind's eye, look around you. The room is completely ablaze with dazzling light. The chairs, the floor, the ceiling, the walls are prismatic crystals, sparkling with a thousand shades of red, yellow, green, blue, such as you have never seen in your life before. Your clothes are on fire with a million microscopic rainbow flames. Your nose, your cheeks, and your hands are shining ruby, emerald, and sapphire. You open your mouth and a shaft of amethyst light beams out from before you. The air itself sparkles as its millions of miniature meteors are darting all around you, as if a cluster of skyrockets has just exploded. There is a swift rain of tiny incandescent bullets shooting down from the ceiling, shooting through the tables, through the chairs, right through your body, and disappearing into the floor. And then he goes on and he describes what it would be like if we could hear all the sounds. This is the realm of the unseen and unheard that shines and pulsates around you and within you, unperceived during every moment of your life. Though invisible and inaudible, it is just as real as everything you actually see, hear, and feel. Now, we know we don't experience the full presence of light. Just imagine how distracting that would be. Our minds would have to tone it down just so we could walk down the street or drive our cars. And maybe that's actually how it happens. Because we know our minds select out the information that's important. And they disregard everything else that's superfluous. That's how we are designed psychologically, physiologically. Our minds choose what to pay attention to. And everything else we discard as unimportant in this moment. How many of you have ever taken a class with an art teacher and the teacher said, I'd like you to copy this picture. And you try to do it with the picture face up like a tree. And nobody can do it. And then the teacher says, turn it upside down now. Because I actually want you to copy it. Because our minds have decided what things look like. Some of the studies I looked at yesterday said our mind is actually only taking in 20% of what we decide we're seeing and filling in the rest with our history, which is why if you get a really bad haircut, nobody notices. Because they're just saying, oh, hi, it's you. It's so good to see you. And they're not noticing the fact that you're cowlicks are all standing up. This is great news. Because then we can quit worrying about what other people think when they see us. Because they're only noticing, oh, hi, it's you. And they're not noticing that your hem is crooked or, well, I don't know, some people notice socks. But mostly that it's almost energetic, right? It's like, oh, hi, I see you. And so when we get a new outfit or something, we wonder why nobody noticed. It's because they disregarded that piece of information as not critical. So that's how our minds work. And that's how we are designed so that we can actually function with way too much input. So this is going to sound really weird, but I'm going to do it anyway. How many of you have had an aura photograph taken? Aura? You sit down on the thing and you put your hands on the plates and they take your picture? It was in vogue for a while. It's kind of out of vogue now, but maybe it'll be back. Who knows? What did you think you were seeing when you were looking at that picture of yourself? Back when I was doing it, they were Polaroids. What did you think you were seeing when you saw that picture of your head with all of those colors? Light, right? The emanation of me or you in your present mental state. So I was curious what the science of that was too, and I found all kinds of garbage on the internet. When I went looking, both people saying that this was accurate and valuable, and people saying it was a trick. So anything you want to find, you can find there, right? So before I moved to the desert, I lived in Houston. And I used to go visit a place that every month that had an aura camera, and I thought it was cool. So I would go most months and sit and have my picture made. And most of the time, they were consistent. And the person taking the picture would say, oh, you're a blah, 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 and you do this, and so on and so on. And I thought, okay, that's useful, I guess. But then a couple of ladies did this class, and their agenda was, you can make your aura change. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm interested, sign me up. And so we all went, we all showed up, 20 plus of us, and we all got our picture taken, and then we spent the next couple of hours playing, coloring, hugging trees, drawing flowers, you know, just little mindless kind of fun, artsy-fartsy things. And then we all went back and took pictures again. And with one exception, everyone's picture moved toward love. Pink and purple and magenta and all of these more quote-unquote spiritual colors, more love, more heart colors, which is the last time I had an aura picture taken, because I realized what it was showing me was how easy it is to manipulate my radiant presence. It's like, well, gee, thanks. You just saved me $20 every month because I'm no longer spending it to get a picture, because I now know how to manipulate my personal radiant energy field by being in that space of lovingness and appreciation and gratitude and happiness. Then I end up being more radiant. And if it's true for me, it's true for everybody else too. One of the downsides of holding a microphone is it's hard to turn pages. So I'm reminded that we're talking about this light thing, and that the light is always here and it's always accessible to us, and it's ours already, part of our birthright. We can hide from it, we can hide it, but there's nothing at all we can do to make it stop, make it go out, or make it go away. It is always there for us to use and experience and express. So I have a couple of quotes from Friday night's reading from our candlelighting ritual. From Plato, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. From Martin Luther King, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. From Hafiz, I wish I could show you when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being. And from Dr. Holmes, from Science of Mind, page 411, we can sit in the shade or move into the sunshine. Sitting in the shadow, we may not really believe that there is any sunshine, but the sun would be there all the time, and all the time we are in bondage, real freedom exists. It is there, but we must awake to it. From Master Teacher Jesus, from Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all in the house. From the Kabbalah, first we receive the light, and then we impart the light. Thus we repair the world. And then one more that showed up this morning, from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. For though my faith is not yours and your faith is not mine, if we are each free to light our own flame, together we can banish some of the darkness in the world. So the question becomes, how do you use your light? How do you make it stronger? How do you show up as the light that you are? The answer is going to vary from person to person and day to day and maybe minute to minute for each of us, right? So I remember back when I took the training as a HeartMath provider that the folks at HeartMath were doing some really interesting work measuring the electromagnetic output of the human heart and comparing it to the electromagnetic output of the brain. Here's what they wrote. The heart is the most powerful source of electromagnetic energy in the human body, producing the largest rhythmic electromagnetic field of any of the body's organs. The heart's electric field is 60 times greater in amplitude than the electrical activity generated by the brain. This field, measured in the form of the electrocardiogram, ECG, can be detected anywhere on the surface of the body. If you wondered how that works, that's how it works. Furthermore, the magnetic field produced by the heart is more than 100 times greater than the strength of the field generated by the brain and can be detected up to 3 feet away from the body in all directions. And in big-hearted people, it reaches even further. This is why, this is sort of the science behind why when you're sitting next to somebody who is warm and radiant and generous, you can tell. And why you're sitting next to somebody who's shut down and closed, you can tell. Because each of us, the picture in the book, which I'll use later, is a torus, which is this great, it's like a great giant donut that the center of it is in your heart, and you radiate out more than 3 feet, all the way around you in a great huge donut. So each one of us is a walking donut of love. And we can be as big of a donut or as small of a donut as we choose. And that's absolutely in our capability. Donut of love, isn't that great? It's fun to be inside my head. Each one of us is a walking donut of love. And we can expand the size and reach of our donut by our intention and our attention, what we put our focus on. And just like those aura pictures, infinitely changeable, by moving from thinking so much to living and loving and being and enjoying, our donut of love gets bigger. And without saying a word, anybody who walks into our energy field can tell. Think about what that means when you're at the grocery store right here before the holidays and everybody's a little bit out of round. You can put on your big donut of love and walk in and calm down the whole place. And it's in your skill set. You know how to do this. You already do. And that's what chased me in this direction was I was thinking about light as an electromagnetic energy field, and I'm going, it seems like I remember the heart is electromagnetic too. So I started looking, and sure enough, it's the same. So this continuous thing that's going on in your body that you have absolutely nothing, well, that's not true. You have very little control over with your consciousness. You do have some, but it happens automatically. That's no different than the light that radiates from your being. So I want you to take a minute. Shut your eyes if it helps you focus. And consider, if you're interested, of course, you don't have to, nobody's making you, but if you're interested in increasing your radiant light, how might you be different in the next couple days? And if you like it, how might you continue increasing your donut of love? How might you show up differently in the world or with friends and family over this holiday period? It's your natural radiance. How will you let it out? How will you be more of that comfort and joy? Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind on page 503 wrote, "The birth of the soul into the light of spirit is an awakening to the realization that God has been with us, and I would say in us, all the time." So that light is your God self. How do you put it on more? We have time. Grab a neighbor. This is not a great, huge, long thing. You know how it goes, those of you who have been around. Grab a neighbor. If you don't know their name, ask. Share what you got as a way to expand your presence as a light being. 20 seconds, and then swap. Okay, if the second person hasn't started talking yet, switch. So how does it feel to imagine showing up as more light in the world? It's pretty amazing, right? You think about the week ahead and whether you're going to be out on, you know, dealing with airplanes like me or with people that you are related to or people that you love, which may or may not be the same. People that you don't know, strangers, just being the light, being that presence of light and love and peace and joy in this time of year, which is awkward at best. How important it is to remember we have that ability. It's innate in us. It's part of our skill set. It's part of our natural state. When we remember who we really are. So I want to close with some lyrics to a song, and I've used this in class a couple of times, and David, I think, has played it. I'm not absolutely sure. The artist's name is India Ari. The tune is I Am Light. I'm not going to say I Am Light the 17 times she does. I'm just going to say it twice per stanza. I am light. I am not the things my family did. I am not the voices in my head. I am not the pieces of the brokenness inside. I am light. I am not the mistakes I have made or any of the things that caused me pain. I am not the pieces of the dream I left behind. I am light. I am not the color of my eyes. I'm not the skin on the outside. I'm not my age. I'm not my race. My soul inside is all light. All light. I am divinely defined. I am the God on the inside. I am a star, a piece of it all. I am light. Gives me goosebumps every time I hear it. Repeat with me. I am light.
I am light.
Now say it like you mean it. I am light. Remember that you are light, and love and peace and joy and harmony and kindness and fa-la-la, all the rest. Bless yourself and bless us all. Thank you. So now it's time for our community prayer. And remember what you said to your talking buddy a minute ago about how you can show up more as more light, more love. Hold that in your mind, because that's the truth of who you are. It's not the grumpy person. It's this more whole being of light. While I speak the words. In the infinite radiance, this presence of light and love and joy, I celebrate this thing called life. I celebrate this opportunity to try stuff out. I celebrate this opportunity to experience the natural consequences of what I try. I celebrate the awareness to pay attention and notice what happens. I celebrate this opportunity to be and to experience the possibility of becoming more. Even though I might tell stories about myself as being deficient in some way, those have no truth, because I am light, I am love, I am peace, I am joy, and as everyone else is a part of me, everyone else is also these things. That image, Indra's net, each one of us is a crystal on the net, and every single one is connected to everyone else. Because there is only one life, God's life, our life now. And as I remember that, I remember this experience of life, and I celebrate and appreciate the opportunity to have it. In this season, the hectic, crazy holiday time, I remember the truth of it. Peace, joy, love. And I intend to live that. Resting in the awareness of that intention, knowing the same truth for everyone else, I relax into these words, I allow them to be true, and I let them be. And so it is.